setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome to the show where we talk about what you were created to do. You were created to fill a unique role in and through your work. You are needed. You must do it. And when you do that, not only are you going to get a bigger paycheck, but you're going to experience so much more purpose in what you do. So we want to help you win at work and in life. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. We'll get to the phones a little bit later. But first, why potential employers are ghosting you? This ghosting thing is a relatively new term. You know, it just simply means you're getting ignored. You're getting ignored, which means you're getting rejected, and it stinks. It doesn't feel good. Nobody likes to get ignored and rejected. Nobody does. But the reality is it happens. And it's happening more and more as the hiring process gets disrupted. So let's do a quick snapshot. Okay. Let's talk about what you're feeling first. We have to address this, because it's going to help you deal with this ghosting. Some of you are anxious. You've been ghosted. You've been ignored. Crickets are making you really worry about your ability to get the job you want or the job you need. Some of you, that anxiety has turned into straight up gripping fear. You're going, I'm never going to get the job I want. And then the third emotion, which I think is, after the fear, like you're afraid, and the fear now becomes, in your mind, a reality. Discouragement. Defeat sets in. See, because after a while of getting rejected over and over and over and over again, while it's not personal from the company to you, it is personal to you. And watch what happens. We humans long to belong. Think about that. And so even if we're applying and we don't know these people and we keep getting rejected or we keep getting ignored and it happens long enough, we start to feel as though we don't have value. And when a human being begins to believe that lie, that they don't have any value, then it gets dangerous. Discouragement, defeat turns into depression. So, all of those feelings are very normal. There's nothing wrong with you. However, you need to understand that while it is a deeply personal emotion that you feel when you get ignored or you get rejected, they don't mean it that way. They aren't equipped. They're not handling things well. Let me just give you a snapshot so you don't take this so personally. The average corporate job opening gets 250 resumes. Only 4 to 6 of those will actually get a call for an interview. The average applicant will apply to 27 companies before landing an actual interview. It takes the average person 24 weeks to go through the hiring and interview process to find a job. So the reason I give you these data points is for you to realize you're not alone in this. You throw in the pandemic ingredient where things have changed dramatically. More people switching jobs, applying. You throw in the artificial intelligence screening process that companies are using. And you can see how the rejection, the getting ignored, getting ghosted is mounting. Do I think there's a problem with corporations and their process? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I think they could be better at it. They need to get better at it. Because I think there's a negative brand reality that happens when somebody goes away with a negative taste in their mouth. Whereas being responsive, even with a piece of bad news, is better than not being responsive at all. But the reality is companies are essentially, you know, trying to catch plates that are falling off the cupboard, and they don't have time under their current rules of operation They don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the desire to communicate effectively with you. So how do you increase your chances of getting noticed? Because all of this that I've just addressed is absolutely true. It is a real thing and it sucks. But are you to just sit and feel like you're in the matrix and you can't do anything about it? No, you can do something about it. You should do something about it. You got to get noticed. Pull yourself out of the digital pile. How do you do that? Let's start with connections, connections, connections. Relationships. Mark Granovetter is a well-known sociologist, did a deep study on this decades ago. It's true then, it's true now, that most people get their jobs through acquaintances. This is not like Uncle Larry and Aunt Margaret and my cousins and my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad. We're talking about acquaintances, people that you are aware of, they're aware of you, you do some level of life with them, it's not deep. He called them loose ties, is how Granovetter referred to them. So acquaintances is where we get most of our jobs. Those connections through acquaintances. So all of a sudden, if you're a person, you go, Ken, I only know 50 people really well. Well, how many people do you know okay or decently or whatever the term would be, right? Like, I don't know them well, but I know them. That's the group I'm focused on. That's where opportunities lie, because everybody wants to help somebody. So connections, connections, connections. Here's the other thing. You got to go to kencoleman.com and use our free resume guide. Hundreds of thousands of people have downloaded this thing. You got to make your resume step out. You want to get out of the digital pile. It's not just connections. You got to make sure your resume, when somebody sees it, they look at it. 6 seconds is now the new term. 7 point something, Alex, recently. Now all of a sudden I see new data. 6 seconds. The amount of time, average amount of time, that a hiring manager is looking at your resume. 6 seconds. Can you imagine? That's the average. I mean, some people are spending, ready for this? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They're done. If the average is 6, goodness gracious. So you got to stand out. You got to get creative too. We shared on my social media. If you go to Instagram, at Ken Coleman, Facebook, search the Ken Coleman Show. Not too long ago, we showed a picture of a young man who delivered a box of donuts with his resume inside the box of donuts, and he had a sign that said, most resumes end up in the trash, mine in your belly, and left it there, and it got him some real attention. Slightly cheesy, yes. Effective, yes. Why? He got noticed. I didn't do my homework to see if he got the job, but again, getting noticed, standing out. You know, other people have, I remember one guy bought a ad on the back of a box truck. You know, well, that's genius. By the way, that guy got hired. We shared that story on the show a couple of years ago. So getting creative to stand out, because here's what companies want. They're looking for somebody that's interesting. When they're staring at all kinds of resumes, if you're interesting, I can almost guarantee you're going to get an interview. By the way, how to win the interview guide? Free, kencoleman.com, if you want to use that as well. All of those resources, the resume guide, the interview guide, all free, kencoleman.com. All right, coming up next, we'll get to the phones, coaching some people up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in your life. 844-747-2577. You want a bigger paycheck and you want to experience more purpose in your work? This is the location. We're going to coach you up. We're going to cheer you on. You're dealing with some emotions that are kind of keeping you stuck. We'll talk about that too. The mindset piece of this is as important as the tactics to climb the mountain. What's your professional pinnacle? We want to help you get there. 844-747-2577. How many of you are going to start a business this year? Yeah, we want to help you start the right business. Start it the right way. Help you win. 844-747-2577. Reminder to those of you who are jumping on this big old merry-go-round of job hopping. Right now, companies still looking hot job market. I want to make sure it's on purpose for you. I don't want you to just choose a paycheck. The paycheck's there. But make sure that the purpose in the work is there as well. So you stay there, you thrive there, you grow there. Make sure that you are joining my friends over at ZipRecruiter if you want to get hired the best way. Put the best recruiting company in the world to work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime. There's no catch. Fill out a profile in just minutes at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Upload the resume, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All in that profile. Let them go to work for you. They give you updates, by the way. Whenever you get a look from a company, a like to your profile. And then they allow the company to contact you directly. There's no middleman on this deal. It is the smartest way to get hired. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. It's free. I would add it to all of your other strategies. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let's go to Cheryl now in Dallas, Texas. Cheryl, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
My pleasure. What's going on?
So I am currently a stay-at-home mom, which I love. I want to be at home with my girls. I actually want to homeschool my girls. Mm-hmm. But I also want to contribute to our household. So I'm trying to, find a direction to, what I'm passionate about, what I want to do, mm-hmm. what I love to do, and then, stick to it.
Okay. So before we dive into some ideas, give me based on what you know is your ideal situation. Try to get to ideal, but let's go from ideal to, okay, I could make this work as it relates to homeschooling your kids plus working. How many hours a day are we talking about? What time of day? Have you thought through this?
Sort of. My girls are 2 and 4. I do have a 15-year-old, but she's in high school with my husband. He's a teacher and a coach. So
would you homeschool the 15-year-old, or would she stay in the high school?
No, she'll stay in high school at her school. She's got a couple of years left.
So here's the deal. I don't want us to get hung up on this, but that's important because you got to know what you're dealing with so that when you're out there mm-hmm. looking for opportunities, you can see what matches up with what your desire is. Now, the 2-year-old's not going to go to homeschool for 3 years. The 4-year-old, presumably in a year or less, correct?
Right.
Okay, correct. So you've got to be able to kind of go, okay, if I'm going to homeschool, that means that we're going to do our schoolwork this time of day, this many days a week, 4 or 5, whatever it is, and so I'm going to have X amount of hours per day. You got to know that so that you can begin to match up, all right, what is it that I would like to do? And you want to do it from home on top of that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So do you have any ideas, things you've thought about?
Yes, I have a lot of dreams. I kind of feel all over the place, though.
Well, that's okay. I don't ever hear anybody really give me evidence that they're all over the place. There's usually a theme. So what are these big dreams? Let's just say for a moment that there's no failure, no startup, just boom. Your ideal future is here. Homeschooling the kiddos and working from home. What would you be doing?
I have a dream to be on a ranch, to be homeschooling my girls, to have farm animals. One of those dreams that my husband and I talk about, and I don't know if it's the right thing, and that's what I'm calling, but is maybe to have a venue on our farm ranch acres to host weddings. but also I would love to have a studio. I love photography and taking pictures of my girls.
Do you all currently live on a ranch?
No.
Have you and your husband talked about what that would take to actually move into some, you know, even if it's a mini ranch, a starter ranch?
Right. Sort of, not too in detail, but yeah, we've thought about the responsibility of taking care of that much land and hosting events.
Which do you get most excited about? And it's okay if it's 50-50. I just want you to stop thinking and start feeling. Okay? Which do you get most excited about? Having animals on a tract of land, forget ranch, just you got land, you got some animals, and it's a part-time job, you work for yourself, whatever that looks like, or the event venue that you can host weddings at, and you also could take pictures of said weddings or take pictures of other people in this studio. Which of those two gets you most excited? Is there a clear winner?
I would probably lean toward the studio.
That's what I thought. You spent more time on it, number one, and your tone kind of changed, which is good. Now, there's nothing saying it can't be both and. What happens if you and your husband get some land, you live on that land, you got enough land for some animals that are kind of fun, maybe you make a little bit of money down the line, but more importantly, you can have your event venue there. It's beautiful, and you can do your photography, you can do family portraits, you can do weddings, you can do recommitment of vows, you can do anniversaries, whatever, birthday parties, the whole nine yards.
Right.
I mean, I think if it's about financially getting to that place to be able to buy that land, to be able to do that dream, you and your husband have to decide that. I don't see anything that tells me that you shouldn't do that, that that's a crazy wild idea.
Right.
Are you pretty good at photography and creative and seeing things and decorating and creating an experience for people?
I've been told I am.
Who told you that?
I don't have a photography business right now.
I don't care. Yeah.
Family. I post on my Instagram, and I always get asked, like, what phone camera do I use? Do I edit my photos?
So that tells me you've got the talent. You've got the raw talent.
Right.
With experience, you can turn that into a very, very marketable skill. True or false?
True.
How much do you love creating an experience, an event for people, or an ambiance, aesthetic for something special to happen? How much do you enjoy that?
I love doing that. It's a passion of mine.
There it is. So we've got the talent, we've got the passion, and what's the missional result that you love doing that kind of, what's the end result of the photography or the event, creating that aesthetic that just fills you up? What is it? How would you describe it?
Just that people have something to remember, that moment they can hold and keep forever.
Yeah. So is this in your sweet spot? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. So now it's about starting, right? So first things first. I think before we ever figure out the land situation and the living situation with the hubs, I think you actually start getting a couple of photography clients. Just start. You've already put stuff out on Instagram when you're doing it for yourself. I think the big threshold for you is to actually get paid to shoot some photos. That's what I think. And I think the more you do that, A, your confidence grows, your skill's going to grow, and then your connections. Confidence, skill, and connections. Those are three things that are going to grow if you start taking pictures now. Do you see that?
Right.
Because who's to say you can't like start making venue connections and learn and maybe start shooting photos for certain venues, or you use venues for your photos and you start learning stuff about your eventual business on your property. I think this is all forward-moving inertia based on you stop trying to turn it into this big business and this big dream. The dream's still there, but you just start doing little pieces of it. I want to see you start taking photos of people now. Get paid and post them. Get paid, post them. Rinse, repeat. Then talk to the hubs about the land. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, helping you win at work so you can win in life. If you're not winning at work, it's going to affect your personal life. And there's no reason why you shouldn't be winning at work. You were created to contribute through your work. Let's help you figure out what that is. If you know what it is, you're trying to figure out how to get there, we'll help you with that too. Why are you stuck? Let's dig into that. Let's get you unstuck. 844-747-2577. All right. We talked about ghosting at the top of the show. I want to dive into this a little bit more in our In the News segment. Headline from Business Insider: mentions of ghosting in Glassdoor interview reviews is up 450% since the start of the pandemic. Real quick review, if you don't know what ghosting means, it just means ignoring somebody. Like, I don't know why. Why do we always have to recreate something? Yeah, you know, like, why do we take the word doubt, which has been used for centuries, and everybody knows what doubt is, and why do we have to try to dress it up with imposter syndrome? Make it sound like some scary disease. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not a fraud. That's what imposter means. You don't have a disease. That's a syndrome. You're a human being. Welcome to the human race. It's doubt. Put on your big girl pants, your big boy pants. Get over it. Gee whiz. So now we've come up with another term for ignoring somebody. It's ghosting. It's like, really? I've been ghosted. No, you've been ignored. Ghosts aren't real, so you can't be ghosted. Anyway, I'm starting to get into like my father's lane here and rant on this. I don't want to do that. So that's what ghosting is. And Glassdoor is a website where a lot of people who have been jilted, fired, ignored, whatever, from companies go on and they talk about companies. Be very careful about how much time you spend on sites like these. I'm not sure how great the information is. These are all jilted lovers over at Glassdoor. How is there some truth in it? Sure. How do you know what's true, what's not? That's my point. But Glassdoor is noticing the word ghosting has jumped up 450% as it relates to people talking about job interviews. I'm being ghosted. I'm applying. I'm not hearing anything, or I was in the interview process. I never heard anything back after my first or second interview. That's what they're talking about. And it's gone up during the pandemic. Why? Well, number one, more people applying different places, less people to field the applications. Companies moving during, it's kind of coincided with the pandemic, companies moving into artificial intelligence and softwares that essentially will take your resume and it'll boot you out if it doesn't line up with whatever algorithms they've put in place. I mean, this is where we are in 2022. But it is evidence that the hiring process is broken, and it's a thing. So don't get ghosted by going through the normal process. Lock in, dive into all the free resources at KenColeman.com. We'll help you not get ghosted, and get over it if you get ghosted. But if you're going to keep doing things the way that everybody else does it, you're going to keep getting the results that everybody else gets. And then everybody sits around and wrings their hands and gripes about getting ghosted. Good grief. I digress. 844-747-2577. Della Field, Wisconsin is where we go next. Kristen's there. Kristen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Super excited to talk to you today.
Good to talk with you. What's up?
So I'm a little confused on kind of where I need to be to fulfill my career goals. I've been in the healthcare field for the past 8 years. I just graduated last month with my degree. I kind of feel lost in where I should be going. I left the healthcare field 2 months ago and got an office job that I'm hate and don't love at all. At first I thought it was something for me because I was happy, but I think I was more happy because I was learning something new. But 2 months later and I'm miserable and don't enjoy going to work.
Yeah. 2 months, huh? Lasted 2 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What makes you most miserable about it?
I think it's more, it's not something I thought I would be doing. And I really don't get along with my boss.
Okay, now wait a second. You applied for the job and interviewed and you got it. And you're saying what you're doing during the day is not what they told you you were going to be doing or you thought you were going to be doing?
So I'm doing kind of what I thought they were going to be doing. It's a very new company. So we're growing and there's literally me, my boss, and the owner, and then a salesperson. It's a very small company. So they said this is what you're going to be doing, but because they're so little of us, I do a lot more than what I thought I would be doing.
Got it.
Which I'm fine with because I like to do things, but I'm also really not getting paid that well.
Yeah, well, you're not fine with it. You sound like you're really confused, yeah. And I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you see and hear what I'm seeing and hearing.
Yeah, I am confused.
Yeah, and you don't like your boss on top of all of it. So you're miserable, don't like your boss, but some of the stuff you like because it's new. And it feels like you just needed something different and an alternative, and you just jumped at something. Now you realize, ooh, and that's why you're calling me. Okay, great. So what is it that you want to do? You know what I coach. You know what I teach. You've listened to me enough to trust me to call me. What is it that you're really needing help with today?
So I graduated with a healthcare management degree because I've done it for so long. I was like, this is what I wanted. Part of me feels like I don't like what I'm doing now because I'm not comfortable because I left the healthcare field and that's my like comfort zone.
Sure.
And then the other part of me, like I miss the healthcare field because I want to help people and I feel like that's where Who
do you most want to help? I want you to describe these people. Describe them in detail.
So I was always been the little man in the healthcare field and I wanted to help the little guy. Like I wanted the people who didn't get a voice to get a voice and make changes that benefited the actual healthcare employees.
Hold on. I'm cutting you off on purpose. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm trying to focus you. You want to help the little guy. Is the little guy the patient? And describe the patient. Is there a specific set of symptoms or is it more somebody who's the little guy? And then you immediately pivoted from the little guy that I felt was a patient to healthcare workers. So again, we got lots of things here floating around. Who is it that you ultimately want to help?
Well, ideally, you always want to help the patients, but like I want to help the healthcare workers, the people who feel like they're not, you know, receiving justice for their job, the overworking of the hours and not feeling heard.
Where do you do that?
I mean, I thought it was in management administration, and that's what I got the degree in, because but no one wants to hire me because I have no experience and it's hard to even get experience.
So you've never been in healthcare.
No one wants to hire me with no experience.
Okay. You've never been in healthcare management or leadership to where you could like organize a group of nurses or whatever and help them make it through. You've never had that opportunity.
No.
Okay. So what does it take to step up to that? And don't play the whole, can they need experience, but there's no way to get experience. That's not true. You've got a degree in it, so that's one box checked. So what are the other boxes that need to be checked? There are people who stepped into that role from something else. Where were they?
So I talked to some of the managers that I used to work with because I was closer with them. The issue I'm running into is they are all nurses, and I am not a nurse. I was in anesthesia. So because I don't have that nursing degree, where I want to step into is not really an option for me, and I don't really have the desire to be a nurse. Well, and going to get my nursing degree.
All right, so you see the problem. So the problem is I want to do this, but I'm not willing to do this. It's like me saying I want to bench press 300 pounds, and if you could see what I look like in real life, you'd know that's quite an achievement. But I'm not willing to go work out to get the strength necessary to lift the 300 pounds.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me. I can't help that. I can't help you with that. So you have to figure out what are some other healthcare positions and administrative positions where I can help out that don't require me to get a nursing degree, or you're going to have to go get the nursing degree. That's what this boils down to. And here's what I think. I think you need to explore more options. What are some parallel type work, jobs that would allow you to help those little people that don't require the nursing degree? Start looking harder. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show rolls along from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So excited to have you with us. This is a different kind of talk radio. We're talking about winning in your work and in your life. We're talking about bigger paychecks, bigger purpose, having some juice on a Monday morning. I asked a question last night on my Instagram account. I guess it's on Facebook as well, at Ken Coleman on Instagram. I didn't ask the question. I put out two questions. The response was phenomenal. I literally just wrote it down on a pad of paper at the house. I was just sitting around going, hey, you know what? One of the things that I help people with a lot is these two basic questions. I think I'll share it on Instagram. Here are the questions. Two questions to ask every workday this week. Number one, what tasks give me the juice? If you're unfamiliar with how I say that, I think you know what I mean. What types of work during your day fire you up? Do you enjoy? Second question is, what tasks suck the life out of me? They drain me. What lifts me, what drains me is essentially the two questions. And I really think you ought to walk around pad and paper. For you digital folks, you can do it on your phone. But take inventory of your day every day this week. Continue it until you see some real patterns. You go, my goodness, I'm spending this amount of my day doing things that drain me, as opposed to doing how many hours in a day, how much percentage of your time are you spending on tasks that lift you, that fire you up? That's the exercise. If you want to see the post, for a reminder, you can go to my Instagram account at Ken Coleman. 844-747-2577. How many of you have got the unfortunate sentence of dealing with a boss that just drives you bananas? Well, seems like Aaron might. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma is where we go next. Aaron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for having me. And how are you doing?
I'm living the dream, Aaron. What's going on with you?
So here's the short story. I have accepted a job a year ago doing what I thought would be in my career field. It has actually turned out not to be so much. I do a little bit of what I like to do, which is actually mapping. However, my job has really turned into that's not really what I do. And here in the last probably 3 or 4 months, my boss has gotten overwhelming, and it has made my job very frustrating. She's got a stranglehold on our team.
Yeah. Is she a control freak? I mean, how would you describe
it? Yes. I got promoted up into a new position that's supposed to be a director's position, and it has been a name only. She has had her thumb on top of me, and just I can't even send an email without running it through her first.
Is she threatened by you?
I'm wondering if that's what it is somewhat. And so I also have a side hustle. And so in the last last 6 months, funny enough, my mom and I started a company.
Yeah.
And it's doing mapping. It's serving a lot of the same people that I actually interact with at my current job, which has kind of been how I made the contacts. And then we saw a need that my company that I work for can't fulfill. So we started a side company that is.
Great.
And
so
it is exploding.
Well, boy, oh boy. I think I know where this call's going.
Well, my problem is our company, while it is doing, my company's doing really well, it is not to the point for probably another 6 months to a year before I could make that switch. I don't have enough clients lined up. I'm just not ready to be able to commit to that financially.
So can you put up with your control freak boss for 6 more months, a year?
So the other thing is I have a job opportunity for another, through actually my connections with my current job, they want to hire me. And it's doing what I love and what my side company does. And they're fine with my side hustle. They know about it already. They're fine with that.
Okay, now hold on a second. I hate to be a cynic because I am not a cynic. But in this situation, something doesn't add up. So I want to make sure I heard you properly. You got another company that wants to hire you to do what you love, which is also what you're already doing for yourself, and they don't care? Is there not a conflict of interest? Or no, they're just trusting that you're not going to do that?
Well, what it is I would be serving only them if I worked for them. It's a county. If I worked for them,
you
got to
shut your company down.
No, I don't. I can't. I just can't serve them. My company just can't work for them as well. Is the only thing.
Oh, so there is no
fine with it. It's already run through. Yeah, there's not a conflict of interest.
Okay, you just answered my concern. Okay.
Yeah. The downside is my current job gives me loads of flexibility. I work from home all the time. I have Fridays off. I have time to run my side business. But, you know, I am getting to where I hate my job, and I hate to say that, but I'm getting there.
I don't think you and are. I don't think you're getting there. I think you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. But I know I've already spoken with this new job that they won't let me work from home at all. They won't let me work 4/10, so I have Fridays off to run my business. They don't care that I run
it. So how is that going to affect your business?
But I can't do it during. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know how. I don't know whether it is put up and suffer for however long it takes, and hopefully it's within 6 months to a year I can make a jump to my company.
Okay, all right, so here's the deal. Okay, so let's walk through this, okay? So if we take the job, so we have current job and new job, that's what we're going to call it, right? And we're going to call it your company. That's what we're going to refer to. So if we take the new job, okay, yes, you won't be dealing theoretically with the misery and that comes with this other boss. However, how much misery is going to add up as a result of you feeling the pressure and not having family life, as much family time, because you got to keep the other business alive, because the whole goal is to eventually go full-time into this with mom. So how much more, like, are you trading misery for misery? That would be the million-dollar question. And you just have to simply go through this and go, all right, how many hours am I going to have to put into the company, if it's even possible, after hours? Or am I going to have to hire somebody to do what I'm already doing for somebody else? I think you got to answer that. I think you actually have an answer. I'm going to suggest that you've already done a quick cursory kind of review, and you're so miserable in your current job with this leader who's a seagull leader. All she does is fly around, squawk, crap all over you, and fly away, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's a seagull leader. Yeah, I know them. Okay, you're so miserable there that you're considering being miserable in your personal life as a result of taking the new job, as opposed to going, you know what, I can put up with her for 6 months to a year, just play her games, because my feelings, my emotions aren't involved anymore, because I know that I'm hitting the eject button as soon as I can. To me, that feels like that's something that's much more manageable than you taking a new job and then trying to figure out how to run the business with mom. What's it going to do to you and mom? What's it going to do to the business, the side hustle? What's it going to do to your family? Tell me.
It would be difficult. I guess the only thing, and my husband, part of it is my husband's been pushing really hard. He sees how unhappy I am at my current job. But it's hard because I worry, okay, if I decide to stick it out here, my current job, even though I am unhappy and it's a difficult situation that has been deteriorating, what if I don't get my side hustle to the point where I can make that leap for 2 years. Maybe it never gets there. I mean, I'd like to think it is. It looks very promising.
Wait a second.
But there's guarantees.
Well, there are no guarantees in life. But one thing we can at least say that we're guaranteeing is you're not at this place long term where you currently are.
No.
Well, then give it a rip. To me, it's the best case scenario. Or you and your husband sit down and go, what do we have to cut? How do we have to change our lifestyle for me to go full time working for me? How much of a cut is it financially?
I don't know. That's something I've been trying to figure out.
We'll figure that out.
What size number is big enough?
It's not about big enough. It's what can we do for a season? Because if you go all in on this thing, it's going to grow.
Yeah, it will.
I know. You've done an amazing job just doing it part-time. I think I like this option. I like you and the husband sacrificing for a season, but you're not going to be miserable. You're fired up. I'd rather you just have to sacrifice financially for a little bit for the long-term gain. That's the direction I'd go. I think it's a romantic dinner and a legal pad. Figure it out. Hey, I got to get out of here, but before I do, you matter, and you do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey, good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.